have 6:15. Shall we adjourn or adjourn?
Motion.
Wow, the quickest.
I don't want to get to the ball game, John. Shall we convene this month's meeting of the Human Services Committee? We can take a roll call, and I see that everyone here is present, with the exception of Supervisor Holman, who we don't expect at this point. Both our youth and governors are here. As our next order of business, we can have citizens' comments. Any citizens' comments who would like to do so have 5 minutes to speak to address the committee. Going once, going twice, citizens' comments are closed. Chairman, supervisors' comments. I have nothing more specific than just a reiteration of what you're probably all familiar with on the 18th of this month, which is a Thursday. We have the Human Services budget presentation at the Job Center on South Sheridan Road. And that is scheduled for what time?
We'll have food at 5, but 5:30 the meeting will start.
What are you having this year? Steaks?
The usual.
Prime rib?
It's bringing a dish to pass.
What are you
That concludes my comments. Any other supervisors have a comment they'd like to make? Youth and governance, comment, question?
Anything?
Very well. I move on to item number 4, which is approval of the minutes of September 4th, 2018.
I have a correction, I think, to make it in there. It doesn't show on the committee members present. We're missing Andy, Supervisor Burr, which I believe he was there at the last meeting. And I don't believe that Mike Gobble was present at the last meeting.
Mike, you were absent the last meeting, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that should be a correction.
And also we should put it, I believe Supervisor Berry was present.
Right. So we can ask our administration to make those corrections in the members present.
I would move the minutes as amended.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Been moved by Supervisor Rodriguez, second by Supervisor Nudo to accept the minutes. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, any? Youth and governance.
Aye.
Unanimous. Thank you. We now have item number 5, who is going to present that for us.
Thank you. We're asking your approval to appoint Boyd Frederick to the Human Service Board. The Human Service Board is a subcommittee to the Human Service Committee, and it requires a certain number of county board supervisors to sit on it. We are short in the membership there, and also some public folks that we'll probably be bringing through you throughout the year to get approval. Boyd was here at your last meeting for an appointment to another committee, so I know he had talked to Chairman Grady, who said it was okay not to appear tonight, so I'm hoping that you will go ahead and approve him so that he could sit in on our budget hearings on the 18th.
On that note, just because it's not here, I'll move to approve it so we don't have to see him tonight.
I second that.
We have a motion on the floor and a second. Any discussion? Youth and governance can vote first.
Aye.
Aye.
Committee members, those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. We are now on to item number 6, update on DHS. Fiscal report, Tammy DePue.
As you recall, we were here in August with our second quarter update, and it raised a few eyebrows, I think, amongst some county board members. We did indicate to this committee and also finance that usually our second quarter report will show a deficit, and Supervisor Grady asked that we come back today in order to see our new status and where we're at, and Tammy has positive news to report.
All right, so since the last time I was here, we've received some one-time funding. So when you look at the front page, page 1 of 12, you'll see that right now we have a levy surplus projected of almost $83,000. The biggest driver of this was receiving 2016 Medicaid reconciliation funds. And that gave us an additional almost $500,000 over what we were budgeting. This is one-time funds. It's not something that we will always be getting. And that put us back into the positive. So we look, the aging and disability services, we are looking at a deficit in the net behavioral health of $1.1 million, but we're offsetting that with savings and part of that MA revenue of $554,000. So they have an additional levy need of $629,000. Our children and family services right now has a projected surplus of $550,000. The majority of this is the MA additional funding we received for 2016. The health department is projecting $107,000 surplus. Most of this is due to vacancy savings from some positions that we're turning over that we didn't fill right away. The medical examiner right now, they're under budget on expenses, $20,000, and the veterans are under budget, $10,000. The workforce development, we did get confirmation that we will be receiving enhanced funding. However, at this point, we're not exactly sure on how much that will be. So we're projecting a surplus of $25,000. So that's how we get to the surplus of $82,000. Then for Brookside Care Center, we also received some additional funding since last time I was here. In August, they received supplemental Medicaid payment for 2016 of $635,000. This also is a one-time payment. For 2018, we budgeted a loss for Brookside of $1.7 million. Through August, that budgeted loss would be $1.1 million. But our loss right now, our actual loss is only $374,000. Part of this is that one-time CPE funding. And the other part is moving over into the renovation quicker than what we were budgeting for. So the renovation got done early, so our census is ramping back up. Then we also have the addition of Willowbrook on here. So Willowbrook has now opened. They opened middle of June, and we had budgeted a loss of $135,000. And right now their actual loss is $141,000. We had budgeted at half of it being open, one wing, which is 12 beds. And right now we are currently at that, but it took a while to ramp up to that. Yes?
The going up to the aging and disability services, the behavioral health, mm-hmm. What does that encompass? Does that encompass the Mendota?
Yes. It's
is the 1.182 because of that?
Yeah, so if you go to page 2, the top section there is the State Institute, which is Mendota and Winnebago. And over to the right, we're estimating to be over budget $1 million for the institutes.
God.
Can someone explain that?
So if you look at page 3, there's some charts on there. The bottom two charts, so the one on the left talks about our admissions. So our institute admissions last year were 256. Right now, where we're running, we're projecting to be at 264. So it's up a little bit. But then if you look at the next chart on the right, our length of stay is up to 14.9. Now, we do have a few outliers in this. We had about 6 people who were there for 60 days or longer. One adult was a child, was quite expensive in the child side, now is in the adult side. And she was in the institutes for a while because she was pregnant. She can be on her drugs. So there's some outliers in these numbers that's causing the length of stay to be longer than normal.
My concern is every year this is going up and we're looking at big numbers every year. And at what point are we going to, I mean, I understand what we've done is great and it's wonderful what we've done to this point, but we need to do extra steps. And I know I've been passionate about this for since I've been on this board, and I think we need to start looking at other aspects. And I know this probably isn't the time to start talking about this in depth, but we need to do something else because we keep increasing, and we're doing stuff, but it's not enough. And the rest of the country is trying to do stuff too, but we need to be ahead of the rest of the country. We're great at what we do in this county, but we need to be better on this topic also than the rest of the counties in the state and people in the rest of the country.
Do we still send people to Rogers and was it St. Mary's up in Racine?
There's a limited number that go to Rogers, Aurora Psych, and then Wheaton, Friends, Ascension, they call it in Racine now. But they shrunk their beds. At one point, they were like around 47 beds. I think last I heard, they're only at 16 beds. So really what's driving the cost here isn't so much the numbers, because the numbers have been pretty flat, as you can see on that chart throughout the years. It's the fact that we don't have access to local hospital beds, which aren't IMDs, Institute for Mental Disease beds. When you become an IMD, meaning that over 51% of your beds are used for people with behavioral health issues as opposed to behavioral health and maybe physical health issues, then you can no longer bill MA, so we're on the hook for that cost between ages of 22 and 64. So really that's the huge issue with our number. Our numbers have been pretty much the same. And just to respond to Supervisor Berg, and I know this committee knows as well, is that we've done a number of things and continue to do a number of things through either exploring grants or NIATEC studies, which have you look at how efficient you're operating. We just wrote a grant to the state that we expect to get shortly. In fact, they did okay it just last week, where we'll have more laptops with crisis workers, a uniform plan that everybody will be doing, and not just if you walk in this door, you get this plan, this door, you get that plan. So starting to combine some of those things and build more crisis planning into those plans. So if somebody is having an issue, that there's a steps that can be followed prior to hospitalization. And we still do all that. Just because you show up at the hospital doesn't mean you end up at the state institute. However, there is also a greater probability if you're in the ER that you end up at Winnebago. That's where most of us go.
The hospitals don't treat any mental health issues at all, or?
No, not locally. Not locally. They won't hospitalize you for that. You can go into the ER to begin that process, but you can't stay there for that. They don't have the staff, psychiatry, and things like that.
And let me go back on what I was saying. We already do a great job. Take my words as anything negative. We already do a great job as it is. We need to get creative and do something else along with what we're doing. The bed issue, I've known that for 3 years since I've been on the board. Yet we keep approving, and I'm going to be on a line here, but we keep approving permits to expand our health care, but we're not getting what we need from our health care in our community, from our big hospitals. And that's a pain. It's a real pain, especially when our neighbors are cutting our beds. We're not getting it here. We got to send them 250 miles away, 300 miles away, and that's detrimental to that patient's, that individual, that resident's care, because you need to have family around you during that care time. So that's my soapbox.
Is there any way to get these hospitals, to help with this? I mean, maybe we don't need 16 beds, but it might be nice to have, 8.
We've had conversations with all of our local hospitals, and at this point in time, they don't seem to be ready or interested to provide that service. We are talking to Aurora about what their plans are for expansion, and they've been listening so far, so that's a positive sign.
Going up to vets court, are we seeing less crime being committed or less vets eligible for vet court?
It's to find people that will go into the program. So number one, to have the referral, mm-hmm. and then also to be up to, I think we budgeted 2 for vets court in the year. So if we don't have the people in them, that's why we're running under the expenses.
That referral needs to come out of the district attorney's office, along with the recommendation from the generally private defense who's defending that person. So that person has to agree that that's something they want to be involved in, and it's a pretty intense model of treatment. Very effective, but sometimes people opt for just a general court process, which doesn't have as much hanging over your head as in expectations on daily checks and things along that line. Also, we've been working with the district attorney's office about making sure they're capturing potential referrals and getting them in that direction. So they've been very receptive to that.
Is there a way to get those numbers, like
total numbers?
How many referrals there have been, and just so that we have that number? Because I know there was a discussion last year about, you know, are we wasting our resources here?
We can get you those numbers at the budget.
Okay.
Do you have further presentation, Tammy?
No, unless you have further questions.
I just want to look at the front page where we started.
Okay.
And if we take a look at the bottom line of the first section, if I understand that, I can recapitulate here. Mm-hmm. It was some $489,000 we were in the hole.
Yep.
In the second quarter, and now we're $82,000 to be good. Is that correct?
Correct. Yep.
There was another comment that was made about Brookside, and was a comment made something to the extent that we had anticipated a Brookside deficit of $1.7 million, is that correct?
Correct.
And the deficit at this point is how much?
$374,000. Okay. So we're under budget, $785,000.
Then, again, if you would, the opening statement you made, you said some particular thing again, and I just want to have you say that part again when you open the presentation here.
That we have a surplus, and why? The surplus is due to 2016 Medicaid reconciliation.
Okay. Is that the one time?
Yep, it's one time additional funding.
Okay, and that's the $635K?
No, the $635K.
That's Brookside.
That's Brookside. That's also Medicaid funding. It's a different, it's a CPAE funding. It's a supplemental.
Okay.
Because we don't get paid enough. So if they have excess in any year, they have to pay that back to the county homes. But okay. We hadn't gotten that payment since 2012. So it's not something that happens every year.
Okay. So the one-time incremental figure we're talking about in the first section, the top of the page,
yep.
Is that listed in the notes here? Where am I not missing that, or where?
Most of that 573 ended up being around 500,000 that we received above what was in our
AR. So it's in the lower box. So.
Yep.
Okay. That satisfies most of my questions. Committee, anything else you'd like to?
Is that reconciliation essentially an audit that they went back and said?
No. So CCS is a new program. It's 100% funded, and every year, they audit it, yes, and then they give us funding to cover the shortfall. So I don't know, how long has CCS been? 5 years?
Oh, no.
Less, more?
Eight.
Longer.
Yeah. Longer, okay.
12
so,
years, probably. I think it was 06 or 07 yeah. when we started it.
But the 100% yeah. funding yeah. must have started more recent.
It's been 4 years, six, biennial years. The state is picking up our local match. And that happened through the state budget about 4 years ago.
So the rates that they pay us on the Medicaid, they haven't updated that in a long time. And so they'll come back and do this reconciliation and make us whole again. And that's what that funding is for.
And how long retroactively does that usually occur?
Usually we would receive, like in 2017, we'll receive 2017 by the end of December.
2017. Okay, so you're basically a year in arrears then.
Yes. 2016, they had a little bit of an issue on how it was calculated and said we owed money. And then when we got that all cleared up, this is the result of it, the $500,000.
Question on Willowbrook. I thought we had 12 occupancy on one side, and we're talking about going over to the other side as recently as, you know, a month, 6 weeks ago. What the current census is, still 12, is that correct?
Yeah, it is 12. No, it used to be 11. That's when we were at the meeting.
Okay.
And now it's 12. And they have 10 on one wing, I don't know which one, and 2 on the other wing. Right.
Okay. Now. Very well. Any other questions that be pertinent to this particular agenda item? Seeing none, we thank you for your report, Tammy, and thank you, John, for bringing this forward. It gives us some peace of mind, and really to our colleagues and county board this evening. We're on to item number 7, any other businesses authorized by law?
Nope.
If I could, your budget will be handed out this evening on the county board floor. And as Supervisor Grady has pointed out, we do have our joint budget meeting on the 18th with Human Service Committee, Human Service Board. If anyone would like to come in and sit down with Tammy and I to discuss our budget prior to that, we'd be more than happy to do that. And for folks that are new to our committee, Tammy, it started with Lori, but Tammy will put together a booklet to kind of to pull out the key parts of the budget in that book you're going to get tonight. So I offer that invitation to Youth and Governance also if you'd like to come in and we can go over that. I would suggest you give Tammy at least a week or so to get all that put together. But if you want to contact myself or Tammy, we'd be happy to sit down with you.
What hole? What hole?
What hole?
And just for the newer members of the county board and this committee as well, when you take a look at the money that Kenosha County expends as a pass-through levy tax dollars, that type of thing, through this committee, through Human Services, through the whole thing, is the single largest expenditure through Kenosha County. Now, it's not levy dollars, it's not tax dollars necessarily. It's state and federal funds to a large part that are actually administrated and passed through. But still, it is the single largest component. It's well worth looking at the details so you're acquainted with that. Anything else, Mr. Jansen?
Okay.
Any other committee board or committee members' comments?
I have a question. This may have been for Tammy, but I was just looking through the juvenile crisis. Just looking at different years.
Sure.
And I saw that suicide attempts / danger category was up 6% from last year. And I was just curious to see where these numbers come from because I'm not too familiar on it. And also with that, what may be causing that if you guys have any idea, although that seems to be something that is.
And you're speaking just to the raw numbers that are in the report here?
Yeah, and if you know what may be causing the jump in the numbers.
I specifically do not.
Mm-hmm. The numbers come from how that call is identified when it comes into crisis or that crisis contact.
Right.
So, for example, school calls and says they have a student who's talking, you know, expressing suicidal ideation, that would get logged as a suicide threat
right.
or call.
Okay.
So it's how that problem is presented. As far as cause,
right.
you know, that's
a question for them, not
correct. Them. We can maybe dive a little deeper for you on that, but you know, it's sometimes that number has fluctuated throughout the years.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
I mean, it looks like between 2015 and 2016, it went down 1%. So that's good news.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the last 2 years have been looks like it's gone up. So it's changed a little bit across the board, but just something I was curious about.
No, good question. I'm glad you brought that up. That's right. If there are no other comments, I have any business.
Second.
Motion to adjourn. Supervisor Newman made the motion. Supervisor Berg second. Youth and Governance?
Aye.
They say aye. They want to get out.
You can vote against
it. We do have to sign the.
Of course, if you vote
Boyd
against
Frederick.
The journey, you probably won't be on the committee.
I would hope so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a bona fide army thing.
Ski
thing. It's the garbage version.